إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, I want to remind myself new today about the sickness of the heart which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the sickness of the heart. Where he said in Surah Al-Baqarah, في قلوبهم مرض فزادهم الله مرضا ولهم عذاب أليم بما كانوا يكذبون. Speaking about the munafiqun, about the hypocrites in Medina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that these people, they have a disease in their heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not only not cure that disease, but that He will increase this disease. And that there is a dreadful punishment that has been prepared for them on account of the fact that they are liars. And that disease is the disease of hypocrisy. My brothers and sisters, to hold two opposing ideas in your mind simultaneously is a sign of intelligence. To be able to hold two opposing ideas in your mind simultaneously is a sign of intelligence. To be able to hold two opposing beliefs in your heart simultaneously is a sign of hypocrisy. To be able to hold two opposing beliefs in your heart simultaneously is a sign of hypocrisy. So how do we know if whether we have two beliefs or we have one belief on which we act? And that's the giveaway on which we act. The real belief is the belief on which we act. So how do we know if there is hypocrisy in our heart? And may Allah protect us from this terminal illness, which is of such great, which has a potential to cause such great harm. How do we know that? By looking at our actions. Because hypocrisy, as I said, which is the real belief? The one on which you act. So if a person says that I believe in Allah and I believe in the Day of Judgment, then you need to, then that person needs to look at his own actions or her own actions to see whether this belief in Allah and the belief in the Day of Judgment is reflected in their actions. What is the meaning of belief in Allah? The meaning of belief in Allah is that we never do anything to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we believe in His existence, we worship Him alone, we believe that there is nobody who is worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore we never do anything knowingly, consciously, that will displease or has the potential to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for those things that we might have done thoughtlessly, we make tawbah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. And what is the sign of a true belief in the Day of Judgment? And that sign is that we ensure that to the extent possible, we do our best. To the extent possible, we ensure that our actions are those that will not humiliate us on the Day of Judgment before Allah. That we ensure that those actions are such that they will not be the cause of attracting the anger and punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. My brothers and sisters, our life is a slate, and whatever we do and whatever we say is written on that slate automatically. The letters appear. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite mercy gave the eraser into our own hands. The recording angels can only record. But to erase, the angel cannot erase on his own. He has no authority to do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the eraser to us. And once we erase something, not only is that thing erased from the slate, but it is also erased from the memory of the angel. He doesn't even remember that. And what is that eraser? That eraser is tawbah. When we make tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts this tawbah. Allah accepts sincere tawbah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only cleans the slate, but He causes the angels to lose their memory about that action. He causes the angels to forget. There are no witnesses. The slate is clean. Our life is a slate. But whatever remains on the slate when we die is what we will be accounted for. What remains on the slate when we die is what we will be held accountable for. And what will remain on the slate is what we choose to leave on that slate. And so therefore I remind myself anew, let us hasten to make tawbah and clean up that slate. Clean up that slate and remove all the evil that has been recorded onto that slate. And the worst of that evil is hypocrisy. To say something and do something else. To say something that we do not do. To say that something is good, but we do not do it. To say something is evil, but we do it. To say to people, just see the descriptions, our language, may Allah protect us. If you ask a Muslim to describe a good Muslim, what is he going to say? He will say, MashaAllah, you know, if you look at that man, there is noor in his face. He has a full beard. And he does never tells a lie. And that man prays 5 times a day. And he fasts. And his clothing is like the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His trousers are above his ankles. And the man lowers his gaze anytime he looks, or anytime something comes before his gaze which he should not look at. And the man is constantly engaged in the dhikr of Allah. Subhanallah. This is the description. Just think about it. Ask, randomly ask any Muslim and say, describe for me who's a good Muslim? And invariably, you will get this description. You will not get a description to say, who's a good Muslim? He said, that man wears only Tommy Hilfiger. And you must see his face. Whoa! It's like the advertisement of shaving cream. Smooth. Absolutely smooth. It's like the advertisement of shaving cream. And you know, he's so smart. You won't believe the deal that he did. He sold this absolute lemon for a diamond. Absolutely. Wow. He took those people for such a ride that they are still riding. He took them for such a ride that they are still riding. And this guy, you know, he can curse. Wow. I'm so impressed. He can curse for 15 minutes at a stretch and he will not repeat himself. And man, in the party, you must see this guy. Oh, without him there is no party. You can turn the lights off if you want. You can shut down the music if you want. But if this man leaves the party, it's worse than that. The man is jiving on the floor, and when he is jiving, the floor jives with him. And I can go on like this. And tell me, will anyone describe this? Will anyone give this description of a good Muslim? Man or woman? No. The description they give is the first one. The first description I gave you is the description. This is the description that they will give of the man. And if it was asked, if you were asked to give the description of woman, then they would say everything except the beard. And in the place of the beard, they would say, oh, mashallah, she is always in hijab. And her clothes are so, you know, they are stylish maybe, but they are clothes which do not reveal. And so on and so forth, right? Now you tell the guy, alright, so I got the description from you, thank you so much. Now will you just turn around and look in this full length mirror that's on this wall? What are you seeing there? Are you seeing this full beard and the libas of the sunnah and this hijab? I'm only talking about the external description. Are you seeing any parts of that external description? Or are you seeing an advertisement of L'Oreal and shaving cream Gillette? What are you seeing? And of course, let's take a look in the mirror of the heart and see what's inside there. And what do I see inside this heart? Oh, it's like the bottom of a Barnard lake, full of murky dark water and full of dark mud, black mud. So therefore now, what is the belief? Is this the description of somebody whose belief is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the Day of Judgment? Or is it the picture of somebody who only says that they have belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Day of Judgment, but that belief is not reflected either in their appearance or in their actions or in their lives or in their dealings or in their manners or in their relationships? Which one? That, my dear brothers and sisters, is the evil, the disease of hypocrisy. As I said, the purpose of the Fajr reminder is not to give a bayan, short reminder. And so what do we say now about this reminder? What is the next part of the reminder? And that is, what is the cure? The cure for hypocrisy, once again. I mentioned it already and I am saying it again. It's tawbah. It's sincere tawbah. It's sincere tawbah with the realization that you were just given this report of an illness which is such that not only will it land you into the pit of Jahannam, it will land you into the deepest part of Jahannam. The last part, the worst of the punishment of the Jahannam is not reserved for the one who denied Allah. It's for the one who said that he believed in Allah, but actually he denied it. It's not for the one who openly denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not for the atheist. It's not for the mushrik. It's not for the idolatrous person. It's for the one who said that he was a Muslim. It's for the one who said that she was a Muslim, but their actions displayed something else. My dear brothers and sisters, the quick test, the litmus test of nifaq, the litmus test of hypocrisy is selective obedience, is to see whether we are indulging in selective obedience. That is the litmus test, that you believe, you act on some things and you don't act on some things. You believe in some things and you do not believe in some things. You obey some things and you do not obey some things. And that is done on the basis of what? On the basis of your nafs, on the basis of your desire, where you obey what you feel like obeying. And what does not appeal to you, you disobey. For your salah, you are Abdullah. For the shaving of your beard, you are Abdul Gillette. Right? That is selective obedience. And selective obedience is disobedience. Selective obedience is deliberate disobedience. Selective obedience is conscious rebellion. The difference between a mistake and a crime is knowledge. A mistake is a crime that was done without knowledge. A crime is a mistake that was done with knowledge. Now, brothers and sisters, make no mistake. There's a difference between mistakes and crimes is knowledge. You knew it was wrong, yet you did it. Which Muslim, even with half a brain, does not know that to deliberately shave his beard is haram? It is to deliberately destroy the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He can say with his tongue that he is an ashiq of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, But with his action, he's showing that he hates the appearance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With his action, he's showing that he dislikes the face of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to such an extent that he wants to change his appearance so that he will never resemble the face of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With his tongue, he's saying that, I am an ashiqa rasool. I am an ashiqa rasool. I love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but my face looks like Michael Jackson because that is the one who I really love. Not Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but Michael Jackson. And that's why every morning for Salatul Fajr, I'm Abdullah, and after Salatul Fajr, I'm Abdul Jilat. I go and shave my face. Think about this, my brothers and sisters, think about this. I don't own a barber shop, right? I'm not asking you to grow your beard so that you can come to my shop for me to trim your beard for you and take a fee from you for that. Save yourselves from being entered into the list of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a list of munafiqun, a list of those who said something and did something else, a list of those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is especially angry with, a list of those who will be selected not for honor but for disgrace. These are the munafiqun. These are the people who say one thing and do something else. Selective obedience. Allah said in Surah Al-Baqarah, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. Allah said, are you going to believe some things from the book and leave out other things from the book? My brothers and sisters, stop fooling yourself. Stop fooling yourself before the bell rings. We are called to account to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that which we deliberately chose to do. My brothers and sisters, as I told you, the cure is tawbah. The cure for nifaq is really very simple. It's just to make tawbah. Sincere tawbah and identify those deeds that are against the belief that you should have. What is your stated belief? Amantu billahi wal yawm al akhir. Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wa ba'sa ba'd al maut, which is the yawm al akhir wa khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala. That we believe in Allah, we believe in His messengers, we believe in the malaika, in the angels, we believe in the messengers, we believe in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we believe in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, and we believe in being resurrected on the Day of Judgment, standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being called to account, and we believe that everything that is good and everything that is not good, the doer of both is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And then we come to our actions and see how are these actions reflected. How are these beliefs reflected in our actions? What is our belief about Allah? That we worship only Allah. La ilaha illallah. No one is worthy of worship except Allah. And when the time for worship comes, what do? Do we worship Allah? Or do we reject that worship? Not by our tongue, but by our actions. Postpone it. Push it back. Do it only at the last minute. Laziness. And maybe even missing it altogether. Which is reflective in our actions. We talk about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say we have belief in the Messenger. What does it mean? Belief in the Messenger is to obey the Messenger. Belief in the Messenger is to follow the Messenger. Are we doing that? We say we believe in the Day of Judgment. And what is the meaning of that? As I mentioned before, it means that we never do anything consciously which will disgrace us on the Day of Judgment. And look at the actions and say, is this true? We believe that anything good and bad comes only from Allah. Is this reflected in our actions? Or is our life full of superstition? Is it full of good luck and bad luck charms? Is it full of feng shui and vastu? Is it full of this thing to do and that thing to do because this will bring good luck and that will bring bad luck? Which one? My dear brothers and sisters, let us reflect and let us change our lives before it is too late. Let's make tawbah and then let's go into our life, list those actions that we do which are against the Quran and Sunnah and delete them. Control Alt Del. Format your disk. Immediately remove those actions. Not gradually, Not one by one, everything together. Every disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reject it now. Gather it up, throw it into the garbage. And that's it, inshaAllah. As I said, the slate will then be clean. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us in a state when our state is clean. Well, our slate is clean. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to use the eraser that He gave us to wipe out the sins that we commit. We ask Allah to forgive us. We ask Allah to forgive that which we have committed unknowingly. We ask Allah to give us the tawfiq to make tawbah for that which we commit knowingly. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive both and to be pleased with us and not to punish us and not to be angry with us. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.